Let's turn together and read in God's Word. And we're turning tonight to the book of Hebrews. And we're turning to chapter 7, beginning to read at verse 22. Hebrews chapter 7, we'll break into the reading at verse 22. The end of verse 21, it says, "Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue, or not allowed to continue, by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh a son who is consecrated for evermore." We'll end the reading there at the end of Hebrews 7. We look to the Lord to add his blessing to the reading of his word. Ali Hafed was a very wealthy farmer who owned a very large farm. He had many grain fields, like the man we read of in the scriptures, with many barns. He found it difficult at times to actually set aside the produce that his farm brought forth. He had some beautiful gardens that surrounded his lovely home. One day in the marketplace, he met a man who was there with him selling some animals. The friend told him of some of his friends who had become desperately rich because they had discovered some gold mines. Ali went home and went to bed that night, and he just couldn't sleep. His mind was all over the place. And despite having all that he needed, the thought of owning a diamond mine was something that he just couldn't get out of his mind. He immediately sold his farm. He took all the money that came to him as a result of that sale. He went in search of those valuable stones, that he might be like these other men who had made the big time. He traveled from place to place, digging wherever he went in search of the stones, spent all the money that he had, and he wasted not just his time and his money, but in great desperation, he took his own life. One day, the man who had bought Ali Hafed's farm was taking his camels down to a stream to drink. And as one of the camels put its nose into the water to drink, the man noticed something shining in the sand of the brook. He reached down and he lifted up a stone. And in so doing, he discovered a mine which was later named Golganda. And it was one of the most magnificent mines ever to be discovered. And had Ali Hafed remained at home, digging and looking in the right place, he would have found everything that he had set his heart upon. You know, there are many people tonight in our world like that man, Ali Hafed, discontented with their portion in life, moving from one experience to another, looking and longing for something that would cause them to be completely satisfied. And the truth of the matter is this, that many who feel like that, and many who live like that, they are actually looking in the wrong places. And as you and I come to the Word of God tonight, to this little series, Important Truths for Indifferent Times, I want to tell you tonight that you will find in Christ all that you will ever need. Let me say that again. You will find in Jesus Christ all that you will ever need. Whether it's for time, whether it's for the whole matter of eternity, you'll find in Christ all that you'll ever need. There may be some doubt as to the author of the book of Hebrews, but there can be no disputing the fact that the writer has a great understanding of the Old Testament scriptures, and in particular, a good understanding of the Old Testament priesthood and the sacrificial system. Without going into all the background to that, we come here to Hebrews chapter 7, where he makes this wonderful statement in verse 25. Listen to this. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. What a wonderful statement that is. As the writer takes us back to the Old Testament, giving us a picture of this sacrificial system and how the priesthood was carried out, immediately in contrast, he turns our thoughts to Jesus Christ and he speaks about his sufficiency. He speaks about you, how you and I can come to know him. And irrespective of who we are, irrespective of the sin that marks our lives, irrespective of how far away from God we might be, here is this great statement. He is able to save to the very uttermost all who will come unto God by him. The priesthood of Christ is defined here. Look at verse 24 and listen as the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of, and the writer says, Christ hath an unchangeable priesthood. That, of course, makes sense when we read of him who is the unchanging Christ. But what the writer has in mind is this, that in the Old Testament sacrificial system, there was a priesthood that God had stipulated in order that his people of old might enjoy continuing fellowship with him. Remember how God in grace had chosen a people to himself. God had told them how they could worship him. God had told them the basis for their fellowship with him. God had told them the sacrifices that were to be used in order that they could enjoy this continuing fellowship, and so that sin would never become a barrier between them and a holy God. The problem for the people was, of course, that no matter how often the sacrifices were made, no matter how often the priest entered God's presence as a representative of the people, it had no lasting effect. The sacrifices had to be repeated time and time again. The priests themselves would die out. Another priest would step in and take their place. And what the writer is saying, that all of this was a continuing or a continual process, repeated time and time again. But then the writer says, with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything changed. He tells us here that God in Christ is able to do what the Old Testament priests were unable to do, and he is able to do it perfectly. Now, there are many things we could say about that this evening, but I want to give you just one simple thought. As he compares this contrast between the Old Testament sacrificial system and he speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ, he reminds us that Jesus Christ is the only Savior for sinners and he is the only mediator between God and men. Now, why would he ever underline something like that? Well, the fact of the matter is, he underlines it because you and I, who are born into this world, are born in sin, and our sin separates us from God. Now, if our sin separates us from God, and you and I are to enjoy unbroken, continuing fellowship with him, then our sin needs to be dealt with. We need to be restored again to fellowship with God. And since there is nothing that we can offer to God by way of our own efforts, or indeed by our own merits, since you and I can do nothing to save ourselves, we needed someone. Someone to meet our deep spiritual need. We needed someone to take our place and deal with our sin. We needed someone who could meet the demands of a holy God upon the sinner. We needed someone who would pay the debt for our sin that you and I could never, ever pay. And that someone is the Lord Jesus. For that is exactly what he has done for the sinner. He is the one who died on that old rugged cross at Calvary. He is the one who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sin. He is the one who has paid the debt in full. He is the one who has satisfied the demands of God upon the sinner. And the good news of the gospel is this, that when you and I come and receive him to be our Savior, everything changes. And you and I can get to the place where we can honestly say, and this is acceptable to God because we're in Christ, I need no other argument and I seek no other plea, because it is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. His death upon the cross, the Bible reminds us, is a finished work. It never ever needs to be repeated again. Christ died for our sins, rose again for our justification, has ascended back to heaven where he sits at the Father's right hand in the place of supreme authority. Calvary's a finished work, and when we come to Christ and receive him to be our Savior on the basis of that finished work, God accepts you and God accepts me in Christ. And you and I have a wonderful salvation. And even when we sin, and we sometimes do, we have an advocate with the Father. We have someone who represents us in heaven. There is someone who stands in our place and pleads our case before the throne of God. So you can see here how the priesthood of Christ is defined. But look at how the person of Christ is described. Lest you think to yourself this evening, but hold on a moment. I understand what you're saying, and I know that sin is a problem. I know that my sin has to be dealt with. But how on earth can God do all of this for me and give me the assurance that my sins are all gone? Well, listen to what he says again here. Speaking of Christ, he says, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needs not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself." There are two things he underlines for us there, and we need to grasp them. Speaking of Christ, he mentions, first of all, his sinless life. Holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sin. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was absolutely pure in every aspect of his life. He was without sin. He was blameless. He was free from all guilt. In contrast, of course, that was not true of the Old Testament priest, because so often when we read the scriptures in the Old Testament, we see how that these, the very priests that God had chosen to lead his people, they often sinned. They fell into sin. They forsook the ways of God. They turned their backs on God. They led the people astray. They were by no means perfect. But that's not so of Christ, because he knew no sin. And he did no sin. Oh yes, he lived in a world of sin. And he found company with sinners. And he was the friend of sinners. And he was tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin. We could take the rest of this evening to look at those that we read of in the scriptures who speak about his impeccable character and conduct. People like Pontius Pilate could find no fault in him, nor could his wife. He even said it himself when he said, look, I find in him no fault at all. Not one. I have taken him and I've looked at his life, I've assessed his ministry, I've listened to every complaint that you've made, I've taken in view everything that you've said by way of accusation, and here he is, and there's not a thing I find wrong with this man. Not one thing. The thief on the cross, hanging with the Lord Jesus and the other thief on the other side of him, railing him, until he realizes who Jesus is, and he turns around and says to his friend, listen, this man on the middle cross, he has done nothing amiss. There's Judas Iscariot who betrayed an innocent man. The Roman centurion saw a righteous man. And on we could go, underlying this important statement regarding his sinless life. You say to me, but why is all of that so important? Well, the writer reminds us here because he takes us from a sinless life to a sacrificial death. Who needs not daily as though high priest to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. This he did once when he offered up himself. In the Old Testament, we read how that once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest entered the holy place. There he offered up a sacrifice to God, first of all for his own sin, and then for the sins of the people that he represented. Then there were daily sacrifices that had to be kept, so that the priest and the people could enjoy cleansing and fellowship. And like I've already said, all of these sacrifices repeated time and time again. With Jesus, it's different. He didn't have to offer up a sacrifice for his own sin, for he knew no sin. He not only offered the sacrifice for our sin, but he was the sacrifice, for he offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And he offered himself once and for all of us and forever. It never needs to be repeated again. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ made the supreme sacrifice, for when he went to the cross, he not only took our sin upon himself, he poured out his own soul unto death, shedding his own precious blood, that your sin and my sin, that all of our sin might be atoned for. We didn't have time tonight, but had we have done, we'd have sang another hymn. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Why? Well, lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high, hallelujah. What a Savior. finishing the work the Father gave him to do, making a sacrifice acceptable to God, dying a death where he sheds his own blood to atone for the sins of his people. And he did it once, and he did it forever. A young woman was out in a forest park walking one day with her baby. Her baby was in a little casket on her back, and she noticed as she was walking around the forest that a fire was engulfing some of the trees in the distance. She wasn't sure what was happening, and she thought it was best for her to make an attempt to escape. But the further she went, it seemed as if the fire was closing in around her, and then she ended up trapped by the trees. And the fire was raging all around her. It was approaching rapidly. She knew there was no means of escape, that both she and her baby were doomed to die. Hurriedly, she took the baby off her back. With her bare hands, she dug a hole in the ground big enough for the baby, and when she'd got the hole dug, she took the baby and she placed it into the hole. And she threw herself down over the hole in the ground, and she lay there as she was engulfed by the flames. Later, when the fire subsided, a warden found the charred remains of the young mother. Miraculously, the baby was still very much alive. And all because she had sacrificially given her own life for the child that she loved so dearly. You know, friend, I want to tell you tonight that you and I in our sin and without Christ, that the very flames of hell are on the soles of our feet. The very flames of hell are on the soles of our feet. And we're making our way through life without hope to go out into a lost eternity. And one of these days, if we don't repent of our sin and seek the Savior and embrace salvation, we are going to be engulfed not just with the flames of hell, but by the very judgment of God as He punishes sin and He punishes the sinner. Thank God there was one who loved us and loved us enough that on the cross at Calvary He took our place, covering all of our sin, shedding His own precious blood. And tonight there's a way back to God because of that. There's no reason that we should remain as we are and go down that road of hopelessness that will take us out into a lost eternity, when we could come to that place called Calvary and look to the cross by faith and see the dying form of one who suffered in our place. Because of Him, sin can be dealt with. And I mean every sin, every spot, every stain. Your sin completely cleansed in the precious blood He shed on Calvary. Lest you think that's not possible for you, listen again to this. The priesthood of Christ is defined. The person of Christ is described. But the power of Christ is displayed. Verse 25 says this, "Wherefore, in the light of that, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them." Do you think tonight that you're such a big sinner in the sight of God that you can't be saved? I want to tell you there's hope for you. I'd be more concerned about those who are sitting in this meeting tonight who never give their sin a second thought, who don't see their need of Christ, who don't know that salvation is necessary as far as heaven's concerned. I'd be more concerned about you if you're here tonight and you don't recognize your sin. Because until you recognize your sin, you'll never see your need of a Savior. But if you're here tonight and you're throwing your arms up to God and you're saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, then there's hope for you, for Jesus Christ can save to the uttermost all who will come to God by him. The uttermost. It doesn't matter how deep down in sin you might be. He's able to save to the uttermost. It doesn't matter how far away from God you are. He's able to save to the uttermost. It doesn't matter if you're just starting out in life as a young person or almost at the end of your journey as an elderly person soon to slip out into eternity, just a step between you and death. It doesn't matter. He's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save you. Able to save you from the penalty of your sin. Able to save you from the power that controls your life as far as your sin's concerned. And thank God in him you'll prove that one day he's able to save you from the very presence of sin itself. You say, Pastor, I'd love to believe that. I really, genuinely would love to believe that. But I'm a vile and a wicked person. I have a multitude of sins that mark my life. I am a nobody. Well, you might be a nobody. And far from God and steeped in sin, as far as God's concerned, you're somebody who needs salvation. As far as God is concerned, you're somebody who could be saved this very night. Even me, even you. Because he's able to save to the uttermost all who will come unto God by him. Tell me as you look at life. And not only as you look at life, but as you think about living in the face of death and stepping out into eternity, and as our sister sang this evening, for that forevermore, eternity where? I say to you again, you'll find in Christ all that you'll ever need. You'll find in Christ all that you'll ever need. And the fact is that right now he wants to save you. Right now he's waiting to save you. And no matter who you are, he's well able to save you. Because he still today saves to the very uttermost. Don't you ever forget that as far as your sin is concerned and your separation from God is concerned, and it's weighing heavy in your heart, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners just like you. How? On the basis of his death upon the cross, where he gave himself as a sacrifice for your sin and for mine. Would you say tonight, I'm coming to the cross. I'm poor and weak and blind. I'm counting all but dross. I shall full salvation find. I am trusting, Lord, in thee, blessed Lamb of Calvary. And humbly at thy cross I bow. Save me, Jesus. And save me now. And he will. He's waiting to manifest his power in your life. He's waiting to lift you from the gutter of your sin and bring you into his family, show you his love in Christ who died for your sins at the cross. And he can still tonight save to the very uttermost. Friend, you'll find in Christ tonight everything that you will ever need. That's the best thing I can say to you. And to the world outside where so many people are moving from one thing to another, trying to find peace and joy and satisfaction and something to hold on to for eternity, you will find in Christ everything you'll ever need. Will you trust him? I pray you will, for he's waiting and well able to save you. Let's bow together for a moment in prayer. Father, we thank you that your word reminds us that Christ, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We know, our Father, that only one who knew no sin could take the sinner's place. And we bless you, our Father, that the sinless, spotless Lamb of God gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And we bless you tonight, whatever the state of our lives, he's still able to save to the very uttermost all who will come to him. We pray that in your grace and mercy, you will bring some this evening from this meeting and from various other meetings, and that they will truly find in Jesus Christ everything that they need in time and for eternity. And we ask it in the Savior's name.